and allow him to share the word of God. Father, we just thank you for Quinton, and as you've prepared his heart to share your word, we ask now, Lord, that the word would go out with power and that lives would be changed through his preaching now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Quinton.
Thank you, Mark. Morning, everyone. It's with great excitement that I actually share what God has been placing on my heart for many weeks now, but I think this morning I want to encourage you to open your minds, and in a sense that's being prepared to have your minds renewed. I think we as believers, God has shown me that we can sometimes think we know it all, and we've arrived and we are God's best gift to his church, and we don't learn beyond that point. And so as I challenge you and perhaps step on your toes, as I've heard some people say, the only way we can change is when we accept that we don't know everything that we don't know, and that God wants to do new things. So I would say that I wouldn't call this the title of the message, but this is essentially what I'm talking about, discipling in faith with power. Yesterday when I was cycling, I ended up cycling on my own because I had a meeting in the morning. God gave me very clearly as I cycled 3 P's. And so the title of the message would be more people, prayer, and power. And I'm going to unpack these three, and we'll be able to remember these quite clearly and start evaluating our lives on a daily basis to see that we are breaking ground in these areas. And I think if I listen to the words that have been spoken, God is clearly speaking. What Mark has just shared with you is directly in line with everything that I'm going to share with you. What Amanda just shared is actually also very much in line with what I'm going to share, and Sally too. So to deal with the first one, power. I'll just ask someone to keep. Oh, there we go. Okay. Chicken time. So power. Many are not convinced that God is all powerful. And you might argue that, say, yes, I do. But I want to tell you that God has opened my mind to see how much I was limiting the power of God and how much we all as believers are limiting it. And I'll say again, as I've shared many times in prayer meetings, that until we see us operating in the same power and doing greater things than Jesus, we must understand that we are not operating in the fullness of what God had for us. Until we're seeing these kind of things happen. So that is like the bar to be measured against. And our perspective does not change the reality of God. So the realm of God's Holy Spirit and its purpose. The world is spiritual before it was physical. And that is a key reality that if you go back to Genesis, it says God spoke the world into being. So the spiritual existed and has always existed and will still exist when the world is destroyed. And so the world is more spiritual than it is physical, but that's not our living reality, because we live in a physical world and we don't necessarily give enough attention to God's power and his Holy Spirit in this world. So our perspective does not really change the reality of God. God is, there we go, I'm catching up now. God is all-powerful, and the reality of God, who he is, what he has promised, how he works, what he has warned, his purposes, his will for us, but most importantly, the way he made through Jesus's death and resurrection. We sometimes stop at the death, but it's actually in the resurrection that the power really came. And so I want to read to you, and I'm sure you've heard it before. I had to go and hunt it down on the internet, and this is because we are recording this on YouTube. This is compliments of Snopes.com, where I found the story. But we've all heard the story, which is supposedly an urban legend, but reported to be a transcript of a US naval ship with the Canadian authorities off the coast of Newfoundland in 1995. So if it really happened, this is how it went down. Admiral, please divert your course 15 degrees. The Admiral speaking. Please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision. The seaman replies, which the Admiral is not realizing who he is, recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. The Admiral replies, this is the captain of a US Navy ship, and I say again, divert your course. The seaman replies again, no, I say again, you divert your course. The Admiral replies again, this is the aircraft carrier USS Abraham Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. We are accompanied by three destroyers, three cruisers, and numerous support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees to the north. That's 15 degrees north. All countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship. Seaman replies, this is a lighthouse. Your call. And that's, I believe, as God gave me this yesterday, an indication of sometimes how we live with the Lord. Our reality is more real than actual God's reality. And we're like the USS Destroyer. We think we've got it right. We think we have all the perspectives, but we have not really understood the power of God and how it applies. So we believe, we say we believe, but our actions don't always follow this. Matthew 7, verse 20 to 21, it says, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can also identify people by their actions. True disciples. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. So the Bible's very clear about our actions. Matthew 8:22 talks about being spiritually dead, and my life group and I discussed this week, but Jesus told them, follow me. Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. And we discussed that. I believe you'll see that being spiritually dead can also apply to Christians. Yes, spiritually alive is when we come to Christ, but we can then continue as if we're spiritually dead, because we don't actually allow the power of God to manifest in our lives. Ephesians 1:19 to 20, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. And Matthew 9:23 to 26 talks about the people's response. And this is just like that USS carrier. When Jesus arrived at the official's home, he saw a noisy crowd and heard the funeral music. Get out, he told them. The girl isn't dead. She's only asleep. But the crowd laughed at him. After the crowd was put outside, however, Jesus went in, took the girl by the hand and stood up. And the report of this miracle swept through the entire countryside. And this is what I'm saying, that many of us are not really convinced about the power of God. Some of us in our hearts limit God. And when something is really out there beyond our comfort zone, we think it's impossible. We kind of, in a sense, are like those people that laughed at Jesus when he told them the girl was asleep, because they only saw their reality. For them, when that happens, that's death. But Jesus sees way beyond the limitations of us. I don't know if you can see my Teams thing covering it. Let me just get it out the way. The unbelief of people, despite the miraculous signs Jesus had done, most people still do not believe in him. This is exactly what Isaiah the prophet predicted. Lord, who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? And so we need to build a bridge, in a sense, and I'll show you a diagram just now, where we are moving into operating in God's power. And this bridge is built through faith. It's built through us growing our faith beyond a little mustard seed into the realm of doing what Jesus actually said, you will do greater things than me. The words of Jim Elliot came to mind. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And I think the secret of understanding God's power, God has been showing me, is really understanding the revelation of eternity and being eternal minded. And when that takes grip in your soul, it will really change you. It should change you. If it doesn't, then you haven't properly seen what God is wanting to show you. And as I'm starting to realize, a lot of us, including myself, have been timid. We wouldn't necessarily go up to someone and share the gospel with them or step out or do whatever, because we are still actually being controlled by this world and in fear of this world. But just as any person who works in a company is passionate about what that company does, they may not be the official salesperson, but they become a salesperson because they can't help but tell people about this great product that the company has. Now imagine us as believers. Surely, if we've seen the reality of eternity, if it's rooted in our hearts, if we understand the power that we have through the Holy Spirit, we naturally would want to speak of what God has done, what God can do. So that's just the reality of this power, and that I believe that the message from of power is that we are not fully seeing it and we're not fully convinced. Let's go to prayer, and you'll notice I've reversed the order of these. So we're first looking at what we're trying to achieve, and then we're going to look at how we get there. So prayer is the work of a disciple, the realm of God's Holy Spirit and its purpose. That's copied from the previous slide. Prayer is the work of the disciple and is the source of the disciple. Now, that might sound a little bit weird to you, but God was showing that there's two key aspects to prayer. It is the work of the disciple. In other words, it's by prayer that we actually do our work as a disciple. We pray for people, we pray for things, we pray in faith, expecting that they come. And so that's our work, but it's also our source. We need to go to God in prayer. And so we have our source through prayer as well. So God created all creatures and man, and they all eat for strength. And then they use the strength to live. And God showed me this picture that just in the way we eat is the way we need to eat spiritually. If you look, there are passages, I'll give you some now, where Jesus first went to go and get his strength from the Lord, and then he went out and did what he needed to do as Jesus, but having the strength that he gained from the Lord. So we have to make sure that our prayer times have both aspects. The one is where we are spending time with the Lord, where we are talking to the Lord, and the other one is where we're going out and being a disciple for the Lord and then operating in prayer. So Acts 17, verse 24 to 28, he is the God who made everything, made the world and everything in it. Since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man's temples, and his human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all nations through the whole earth. He decided beforehand that they should, when they should rise and fall, and he determined the boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any of us, for in him we live and move and exist and have our being. And some of our poets have said we are his offspring. So if in God we have our being, And if we're not spending time with him, our being can die off and we can become pretty useless. And then it's just like an eternal fast. You know, when you go on a 40-day fast, you really you look forward to food after that because you're at the point of death. And I believe that's why the 40-day fasts are about the limit of what a man can cope with. Beyond that, your body starts to die. But imagine how much time we've actually fasted spiritually because we haven't really gone and we don't spend time in God. Some of our quiet times are literally just to tick the box. I've had a quiet time. I've read the word. I've done whatever. But we haven't actually drawn any strength from that. We haven't really met with God. And that's what God's challenging me on. I don't have all these things right, but I'm just sharing with you what God is really laying on my heart. So, where are these scriptures now? They've disappeared. Matthew 10, verse 7 to 8. Let me just get this one quickly. As you go, proclaim the message, the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, drive out demons, freely as you've received, freely give. And that's an act of going. So prayer in these two areas, the first one is we go to God. Luke 6 verse 12, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. So Jesus himself, when limited in the form of a man, just like we are, even though he was God made man, he still went to God praying. And in Luke 11, 1, Jesus teaching on prayer, this is just before he gives the Lord's Prayer, it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. So when Jesus was praying, he was praying to the Father. He was drawing on the success, on the strength of the Father, hearing him, listening to him, and then he went out. So again, are your quiet times just ticking the box? Are you just saying, okay, I've had a quiet time? So for some of you, you may not even be having a quiet time. I can remember times when I wasn't having a quiet time, and I can tell you now, I can confess, I was basically spiritually dead because I was not eating. And so sometimes we go to God, sometimes we read something, and sometimes we verbose. Lots of words and lots of things, and I see some of the WhatsApp groups, there's lots of stuff on them, but we really need the gems from God, and we need to go and spend time with him. Just reading a WhatsApp or just reading a scripture doesn't qualify as a proper quiet time with God. Quiet time is spending time in quiet with the Lord, drawing strength, just as Jesus did. The second thing is we go out and serve. So operating in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the authority that was given us. So Matthew 10, verse 7 to 8, that's the passage there. Go out and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons, and give as you freely received. That's the instruction. That instruction is actually to go out and do these things, not to beg God to do them for you. Actually, when you go and read these scriptures, and you can go and do that, your study yourself, when he sent out the 72, etc., he gave them authority, spiritual authority. And that's the time we need to operate and out of the strength of what we've received from the prayer times when we spend time with the Lord. So the prayer is the means to operate in power. And if we don't have this, we can basically forget about working in power. And then people. So why people? We've just spoken about prayer and power, but people. The Lord uses people. And one of the things I was hearing last night as listening to something was the angel of the Lord appeared to Cornelius and said to Cornelius, send for Peter. And then Peter came and did the work through the power of the Holy Spirit. So if you look at that, the Lord sends an angel to tell Cornelius, go and get Peter. The angel didn't do everything that Peter did. The Lord used Peter, and he used the angel to get Peter there. So the Lord uses people. If we are not listening to God, listening to the Holy Spirit, we are the missing link. God has somehow incredibly sought to use us as people as part of his plan to fulfill his purpose. So all spirits need a body to act, and I mean all spirits. So when you look at the demonic realm, a demonic spirit cannot operate unless they have somebody who has subjected themselves to being used by that person, oblivious or not, but that is how the demonic world operates. They also operate through bodies. And God's Holy Spirit also works through us. So us as people have to be available for the Holy Spirit, except that God works in a different way to the devil. But all spirits need a body to act. This physical world is only acted out and only operated in through you and me as we have our being. So the demonic and the Holy Spirit and your spirit also lives in your body. When you die, your spirit leaves your body. So unless your body is alive, your spirit is not operating in your body. And some of us don't necessarily know the difference between those two. We kind of just see ourselves as ourselves, but we haven't realized we actually were created in spirit. And we were designed by God to actually live with the Holy Spirit. And the devil will use that to his benefit to come and replace the Holy Spirit with his spirits to serve his purposes in his war against God. Matthew 10 verse 1, Jesus sends out his 12 apostles. Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to cast out evil spirits and to heal every kind of disease and illness. Now you might say, well, this is part of the prayer or whatever, but the reason I put this under people is you can see God wasn't sending out his spirits to go and do this work. He was sending out his people, empowered by his spirit, and he gave them authority to do these things. And these things were done so that the power of God and the pointing to the Holy Spirit to salvation would be achieved. Because when we do these miraculous things, it points to God. The miraculous things are not a means in themselves. They're actually an evangelistic tool, and all of the gifts of the Spirit point to Jesus. They point to salvation and that the reason for salvation, and they demonstrate God's authority. Where sometimes we can perhaps get wrapped up in the miracles themselves and the healings, and our end objective is the healing of that person. Our end objective should always be the salvation of the person, and that the person is living, like we're saying here, as a person or a people living in power through prayer. And that is ultimately, then you become a fully operating disciple fulfilling the Great Commission. Matthew 28:18 says, therefore go. Jesus came and told these disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Jesus was given all authority. Therefore go. And as Derek Prince always teaches, when you see the therefore, ask what it is therefore. And he's the therefore is because Jesus was given all authority. And he said, we can go. We're going in his authority and make disciples of nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And this is an incredible promise that we need to take with as people. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. In other words, even when you die and leave this earth and go and live with God forever, then he will still be with us. So we need to continue operating as people in the power, knowing that he is with us always in every situation. But it requires us to do our part. And what is our part? Our part is submission, wholehearted serving, renewing our mind, getting out of the boat, actually, really getting out of the boat. Stop making excuses. Open our eyes to see what he has for us. In Matthew 15, verse 16, I like these words and I can say them quite comfortably because it was Jesus' words, not mine. Are you still so dull, as the NIV puts it? And in their message, it says, you too, are you still being so willfully stupid? And sometimes we need to take that reproach from God and say, are we still being stupid about things? Are we still so dull that we are operating like Peter and the disciples did when they were asking Jesus about things that he thought they'd really caught by now? And so the picture here I want to show you is what God gave me. So this is the realm that we live in. This is the physical realm, okay? And this is where we sit praying. And the spiritual realm is this mountain of things that we see that is not reality yet in our world. And that is the realm of God's power. And how do we get between these two realms? Well, we get there with this bridge, but very often we are kept in the physical realm by a barrier of everything that the devil barrages us with to limit us. And the statements can sometimes sound like this. The doctors have said she only has 2 days to live. They've said that she will die from this disease. They've said that it's impossible. They can't find a cure. There's no vaccine for coronavirus. If you go out, you are likely to get infected. You can go and listen to the Spirit and see where you are listening to this aspect where the devil has put these barriers up that are creating a limitation in your mind. And so you only focus, if you can see my mouse, on the world. We stay stuck in this. We are praying. We are breaking down heaven, but we're not really seeing the power because we have allowed these limitations to still speak to us in our physical bodies, in the physical realm. And this extends to financial provision. It extends to everything in the physical realm that is a limitation. Because we say, well, we don't have a job. We don't have this. We got no food to eat. I don't know how to get there. I don't know how to solve this problem. I don't know how to do that. And more than that, we don't only look to ourselves. God is really looking for us to be that towards others. And if you're needing help, you should be going to others because God hasn't designed that we can be self-sufficient. I'm not saying we can't pray for ourselves, but there is a design in God, I believe, that we reach out to others to pray for us and we pray for others. And that's how God works. That bridge is built through faith. By faith, we access the power. Hebrews 11 will teach you all about the bridges people crossed. And when you look at the things mentioned in the entire chapter of Hebrews 11, you will see that they're all in this realm. They were all incredible things that in the natural did not make sense, but in the spiritual they made sense. And the access to that is through faith. And the key thing is, as I said, people are used by God. So we as people have to cross the bridge into the realm of the power, breaking through the limitations of the devil and going there by faith. If you look at the picture that Peter climbing out the boat, 11 other disciples, I can't remember if all 12 were in the boat, but I think they were. 11 other disciples stayed on the left. They stayed here. Only Peter had the guts to walk into this realm because nobody can walk on water. That's the law of the land. But God said, come. And he got out. And he was one person who by faith operated in this realm when he stepped out the boat. And that realm of the power is not power for us. It's power through the Holy Spirit. We don't do this by our own power. If you are healing someone, and the wording can be very subtle here, oh, Quinton healed me, or Mark healed me, or so-and-so healed me. No, we did not heal anybody. The Holy Spirit healed as we stepped out to allow his power to flow through a person by faith that causes that action to happen. The realm of the physical and the realm of the spiritual. Which world are we going to continue to live in? Everything is achieved in God in the spiritual realm. But I see that we as believers spend our lives locked in the realm of the physical, and we don't break through that. People, through prayer, in faith, partake in power. We need a childlike faith. God gave me this Friday night, this picture, and it was incredible as I realized David was a boy, unaffected by life's so-called wisdom. As we get older, we think we gain this wisdom, but we actually gain the stupidity that Jesus is talking about, because we are gaining an experience from the physical realm where it dictates more to us what is limits. And the reason Jesus said we need childlike faith is because a child will easily believe in Father Christmas and the Easter Bunny and all these things. And I know that they will shake someone's world because they are pagan festivals and things like that. But the reality is the children believe in these things. Why? Because we told them. And so when you see David as a boy going into the realm where he's going to go and fight Goliath, he's merely a boy, unaffected by life's wisdom. And he's facing Goliath, this unknown mountain. Picture in your mind the picture I've just shown you. And he said he could go through because he just said, "My God says." And so he was able to stand firm. So he also stepped out, and God used people, David, to defeat an entire army by killing Goliath, because David was not limited by what he saw. Every single other Israelite stood on that mountaintop looking down into the valley where Goliath daily shouted his taunts, but only one person who was not affected by life's so-called wisdom went forward. And worldly wisdom is foolishness to God. So the things we see in the world shout at us as if they are reality, but the truth is unchanged by what God's truth is unchanged by what we see. What we see limits us, but it doesn't change God's truth and his reality. So in closing, are you willing to start calling things that are not as though they are? Are you willing to stop asking God and do what we are supposed to do? Are we willing to start acting, to start stepping out God's will, honor, and act in faith? We don't need to ask God if it's his will to do this or that. I find that what God has shown me is that so often we, is it your will to do this? Is it your will to do that? Jesus said in Matthew 4:23, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Not some, every disease. We don't have to ask God if it's his will to pray for a sick person and to see them healed. We need to push through. It's the devil who wants to tell you, no, it's not God's will to heal this person. No, it's not God's will to do this. It's actually the realm is, Jesus said every person was healed that he came across. He didn't make any exceptions. So we don't have to ask God if it's his will. We need to step out and start thwarting the kingdom of darkness for the kingdom of light. And that's it. So, Mark, I'll hand back to you, because I don't know how to finish this off, but I think maybe a time of prayer, or we can pray for those who need God to move in this area. So I'm going to leave the picture on. What happened here? Oh, did you de-share? Okay.
Thank you, Quentin. I think that's incredible what God is actually saying to us, to step out into the realm of the Spirit. So I'm just going to ask Donovan to sing us a song, and we can join in, and then we can have a time of prayer and pray for everyone. So Don, will you lead us in a song, please?
Can you all hear me?
Amen.
This is one I know you all know, so please sing along.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. from grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Amen. Thank you, Don. If you've heard the message of Quentin today and just the reality of if you find that you're battling to break into the realm of the Spirit and you want to flow in what God has actually called us to walk in, because I really believe what Quentin has shared with us today is actually the normal Christian life. We've been succumbed to a life of the world, and rather than living in the normality of what Christ has called us to live in his power and in the outworking of his Holy Spirit. And if that's you today, I'd really like you to respond to Quentin. And Quentin, I'd really love you to pray for us. And just like in the Acts chapter 1, where the power, Jesus promised us the power and became a reality on Pentecost, we all need to be filled again with the Holy Spirit and prepared to work with him, because I really believe God wants to see that dimension in our lives. The Pharisees were known to ones that didn't know the scriptures or know the power of God. And God wants us to operate in that dimension, because then that causes the love of God to flow, forces the compassion of God. And then we start to see the heals sick and God working through our lives. And you know, folk, where we find ourselves in this current situation, we don't have another option. We cannot rely on the world and its ways. We got to be in that place where we're calling things that are not as if they are. We got to work together and see the realm of heaven come to our situation. So if that's you today and you want to respond to what God has been saying through Quinty, I really just ask, will you just raise the heart, your hands of your heart? And Quentin, will you pray for us, please? And please receive. You know, there's something in believing, but receive. Receive the power and the outworking. May our life never be the same again as we've been challenged today to walk in this dimension of God, the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Quentin. Will you pray for us, please?
Father, we just quieten our hearts first, just to surrender to you. Lord, we ask you forgiveness as a people. Your word says having a form of godliness but denying its power. And Father, if people can see Jesus in us, if people can see the power, then we would be living in accordance with that. But Lord, we have to ask forgiveness, because we've probably lived in a realm that has, we've grown up in this thing. We've been deceived by the enemy to believe that the Christian walk is doing what we're doing, is playing church, but not going out like you sent your disciples. When you sent the 12 and you sent the 72, you expected every believer to be part of this. And that we know the enemy has brought around a mindset, like a spectator mindset in church. This thing is only for elders. This thing's only for the lead elder. This thing's only for those spiritual gurus to do. Not that any of us are spiritual gurus, but Father, as believers, we've always looked to others to do the work. And you said your power is for everyone who believes. Your plan, Lord, was to work through your church, not just through deacons and elders and leaders. You expect each of us, Lord, from the day we are saved, to start bearing fruit. And not to first have to go and do this and first have to go and do that. Just like the person who said to Jesus, let me first go and do this or that. And Jesus said, if you put your hand to the plow and you look back, you're not worthy of serving me. And I believe, Lord, as that passage was unpacked, that is a passage which you're calling us to today, to put our hand to the plow and to not look back. So Father, we as a church want to come before you, and I pray for everyone in the hearing of this message now, and if this message is played in time to come, those people that hear it would be stirred to say, I want to be a practical, I want to be a powerful believer. I want to be a believer that operates in the realm of the power of the Holy Spirit through faith. I want to call things that are not as though they are. I want to start living like a true believer. The fruit that we bear is in the realm of the Spirit. We've been looking to bear fruit in the realm of the physical. We've been looking to tick the box and to attend the attendance register, that we were in church, that we did quiet times, that we prayed to the Lord, that we did whatever. But we have been deceived by the enemy that we are not bearing fruit. Father, we surrender our lives to you afresh to say, come and burn in us with a holy fire. I had this picture before the meeting started of a coal. We mostly bry with gas these days, but in the days where we bride with briquettes and charcoal, if you see a red glowing coal, it's one thing. But if you took the called in Afrikaans the blast bulk, and you blow on it, that red coal actually becomes on fire. And any coal that's put near that coal would begin to catch fire, even if it wasn't even on fire before. But a coal that is just glowing will eventually go out. Lord, no matter how much we try and keep this up in our own strength, we can only do it through your power. Father, we want to be a church that is available. We want to be every believer that is saying, here I am, Lord, send me. Send me people that are sick. Send me people that need miracles. Send me people and I will step out the boat. Father, we also ask forgiveness where we've limited the Spirit. Your Spirit says things, your Word says things, and so often there's believers out there, Lord, who are also only taking the Word that is comfortable. The parts of the Word that are comfortable, and not every part. And the realm of the Spirit challenges our fleshly realm. And it sometimes is the realm we shrink back to. And we say, well, I'm not going to accept this part of the Word because, well, this thing is a challenge to me. This thing challenges my mindset. And the gifts of the Spirit are these things that operate in the realm of the Holy Spirit. They operate in the realm of power. So, Father, we truly do business with you this morning as believers to say, we want to start growing in you. We want to start being believers that count. I can see church on the way and the churches in our valley flooded with people as we begin to step out and do miracles, as we begin to go and find those people that need God, find those people who are destitute, find those people who are sick, lame, and lazy, find those people who have no hope and no future, and let God do the work. We don't do the work. God does the work. So, Father, as we've learned this morning and been reminded this morning that you only work through people, may we be available like Peter was. The moment those people knocked on his door and told him he needed to go to the Gentile house, he didn't hesitate. It blew his theology because as a Jew, he wasn't allowed to go to them, but he stepped out and he was obedient. Lord, the things that blow our mind from a theology perspective and everything we've learned by being 30, 40, 50-year-old Christians, let us shake off those things that we thought we knew and learn afresh the way of the Spirit, the realm of the power of the Holy Spirit, and begin to be believers in this day and age that we will be part of those that Joel prophesied. You will pour out your Spirit and old men will dream dreams and young men will see visions, and your Holy Spirit will operate through us as a church because we say, yes, Lord, here we are. Send us. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the excitement that this brings because it is a new thing. It's not just the next thing. It's not just some passing fad. This is the thing that will keep us busy until the end of time, until the day we called home. And it is excitement, Lord, to partner with you. It's an excitement, Lord, to see the realm of the Holy Spirit, to see these things that are not as though they are. So, Father, we pray, come and pour out your Holy Spirit on us. Give us a refreshing. Give us an anointing. Let us be those ones who go out. And as I heard recently, Reinhard Bonnke was saying that we can't sit in our couches and ask God for the power, because you don't need power of God to be a couch potato. You need to go out. And so, Lord, we say, okay, we're willing to go out. We're willing to speak to the cashier. We're willing to speak to the person on crutches. We're willing to speak to the person at work. We're willing to start shaking the boundaries that we've been hemmed in by the devil, that we have to just keep quiet and stay in our little circle and be Christians and not rock the world. But Lord, we want to be those that rock the world. We want to be those that shake the world. We want to be those that we be prepared to be jailed for standing up and calling out your name and testifying. So blow through us with the power of the Holy Spirit. May your anointing fall on every believer, from a child to an adult, the oldest in our church to the youngest, every single person you have designed and purposed, that if we've said, yes, Lord, come into our lives and we become new creations in you, that we immediately have access to this realm of the power of the Holy Spirit. That we would see children doing miracles at schools because they believe that God said, just like David said, my God said, and he slayed Goliath. May we be those that slay Goliaths, though there be giants around us, like the ones who went into to the promised land and got scared. May we be like Caleb and Joshua as we go out in the world. Father, we just so want to see you use us. We're so privileged to be used by you. And we say, yes, Lord, we'll step out. Here I am. Send me, Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Quinton. While you've heard what the Lord has been saying to us today, I think it's time to act. Hear the word of God, meditate on it, but let's go and do what the Lord has actually told us to do. Anyone else just got something to share or pray before I close? Anyone else got something to share?
Yeah, Mark, can I just pray something? Just an awesome word. Thank you for sharing. And just as Quinton's been praying and sharing, you know, I just want to pray for something as well. It's just something on unbelief. And, you know, just as COVID-19 is amongst us, some of us have the symptoms of it, but some of us are asymptomatic. And I just believe, you know, we've all got the Holy Spirit, and some of us see the power and move in the power, but some of us are asymptomatic. So we don't believe the Holy Spirit is in us, yet it's there. And you can have COVID-19, yeah, and the only way you know it is if you go out and have a test. And I just want to pray for unbelief, because as Christians, we all have the Holy Spirit, but some of us are sort of asymptomatic. We don't believe we've got this Holy Spirit in us. And the only way for it to have power in us, or to know that it is, if you're asymptomatic with COVID-19, you've got to go have a test. And then they tell you have it. It's no feeling. And as Christians, sometimes we got to step out. And that's what I want to pray for, as we've been encouraging, is to actually step out, because we do have the Holy Spirit in us, but some of us are asymptomatic. We don't operate in it, although it's there. So I'd just like to pray that as well, as we've just been so encouraged. And Father, I just thank you, Father, that your word says that when we believed in our heart and we confessed with our mouth, we received your Holy Spirit. And the power and the fullness of your Holy Spirit dwells within us. But some of us are asymptomatic. Some of us don't believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is indwelling us and is there. And the only way we'll know out is when we step out in faith. When we do these things, as we've been encouraged today, to go out into the unknown, into the spiritual realm, into the places that are unseen. As we step out, we will start to be symptomatic. We'll start to see the evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. But if we're sitting as couch potatoes, we'll be asymptomatic. So Father, I come against unbelief. I come against passiveness in us, Father, and I even repent on behalf of all of us for that, Lord. May we get out. We are filled with the power of your Holy Spirit, and we thank you for that. But let us get out. Let us step out. Let us move out, and we will start to see the symptoms of your Holy Spirit, and people will catch what we have. We will impart it, just like COVID-19 is imparted. The power of the Holy Spirit, not given by us, given by the Lord Jesus Christ, because he's the one that baptized with the Holy Spirit, but we give what we freely receive. So I ask for, if there's unbelief, Lord, and if we've been sitting, to be stirred up as a people, to move out and to work in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I think, let me just share, there was a testimony from David Kalender, who took over from Reinhard Bonker, and he said,
Daniel Kalender,
sorry, my family's correcting me, what he said to Reinhard Bonker when he took over, he said, what if no one gets healed? What if I pray for people and no one gets healed? And Reinhard Bonker said, if you've prayed for 99 that haven't been healed, pray for number 100 as if all 99 were healed, because it's not your job to do the healing. So I think the devil will try and put a limitation on us. But we just push in. Mark, I want to suggest if you want, they can stop the recording. If people want to just have a time of fellowship, maybe share, discuss,
I just pray, Quinton? I've just got something on my heart. Lord Jesus, I just want to come before you now as somebody who, at the moment, there's been so much focus on me and what I'm going through and the battles that I'm fighting. And I just pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that we take our eyes off ourselves and put our eyes straight back on you. Because everything is possible in you. You strengthen us. You give us the Holy Spirit. We have every single tool available to us that we need. Take our eyes off ourselves and let us step out and see the hurting, Lord Jesus. Let us recognize the hurting. Show us supernaturally what is happening in their lives, Lord Jesus, so that we can come with your knowledge, with your insight, and with your heart to the people, please, Lord. I just thank you that there is no condemnation in you, that you love us. You love us even if we're struggling with something, even if we are sinning at the time, Lord Jesus. You love us because you know the fallible vessels that we are, but we're your vessels, Lord. We're here to be used by you. And so we make ourselves those living sacrifices. We live our lives every day, every second of every day for you and for your kingdom. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege and the honor that it is to be your children and to have your Holy Spirit with us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Connie wants something to share. Go for it, Connie.
Excuse my chattering. I'm freezing. At the start of the meeting, I felt that God is speaking to us as individuals and as individual groups and also as a church as a whole, like he did to the different churches in Revelations. Some versions say, to him who overcomes, while others say, to him who is victorious. And I feel that he is encouraging us to persevere, that he will not leave or forsake us. So do not give up, but persevere in whatever you do and overcome. James chapter 1, verse 12 says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. But if you read the letters to the seven churches, towards the end, just before, let he who has ears hear what the Lord is saying, just before that, there is a promise for each of the churches. It's a different one for each church about what God would do to him who is victorious to the end, and he who does the Lord's will to the end. And I encourage you to go and read that portion of those premises. And if you can read also just the other letters to see what the earlier churches went through and how they persevered and how God came through for them. And I know a big part of that is promises that will come that day when we meet face to face with our Lord. But there are promises today, such as God never leaving or forsaking us as we follow him and trust him and wait and rely on him as he leads us.
Amen. Thank you, Connie. Is there anyone else? I'm going to close off, and those who want a fellowship can stay on, but we can close off the meeting. Anyone else? I'm going to close. Father, we thank you for grace and this revelation today of where you've called us to live the supernatural, normal life. And Lord, we want to walk with you, and we want to walk in that dimension. And we pray, as Quinton has prayed, for every one of us, Lord, to take this leap of faith and the step of faith and to walk in that realm and touch people with your power and with your love, that, Lord, this world will be changed. We have a mandate, Lord, to go and tell people about you and to change people through the power of the Holy Spirit. And may every one of us be used powerfully by you now. And yes, Lord, use Church on the Way as we make ourselves available, Lord, to touch many lives now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Quinty.